Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
We are back with Josh Newby and John Pickens and myself, Jonathan Owens, on News Radio 1620, AM 1620, and 92.3 on the FM dial. We have covered lots of topics this morning, Josh and I. We are tag teaming on two different sides of the political spectrum on local topics and national topics. Most recently, we were talking about discretionary spends and taxes. I'd like to go back and talk a little bit about what we talked about in the earlier hour.
Property taxes.
Yeah. Again, the scrutiny over discretionary spending.
Yeah,
this is going to come even get in even more scrutiny if the ballot initiatives do actually get some traction.
One of 30
ballot initiatives to reduce property taxes here on either homesteaded or non-homesteaded property, or there's going to be so many different choices to choose from. I don't think any of them fly.
Agreed. No, I think that it has a lot of audience purchase. You know, I just got my property tax bill a month ago. No one likes to see, their property taxes rise. No one likes their wallet being impacted. But ultimately, I disagree with the host of this show, Andrew, about property tax. But I think that they do have a strong philosophical case to make for property tax. I think they're important for government. I there are problems with the property tax system, but abolishing them outright and really, really handicapping local government is not the way to do it. I mean, it's part of this legislature's move in recent years to really, really, abolish the value of home rule. All these preemptions that keep coming out. But that's a little off topic. I'm in favor of property taxes. If something does make it to the ballot, I won't be voting in favor of abolishing or reducing property taxes.
Not even homesteaded?
Not even for homestead. Land is a fixed asset, right? There's only a certain amount
for
of
the
it.
Purchaser.
For the purchaser, right. But you do not have a claim to that land unless the government enforces your claim on what is a common good. So
defends your claim against that property, right?
It absolutely does. And so, no, I'm not going to pay the government. I'm not going to pay for the enforcement mechanism that allows me to build on this home. I mean, I think that property taxes, there's a lot of problems with property taxes. I would be, it taxes improvements, which is where we get gentrification from and stuff like that. But I think that instead of abolishing property taxes, I'd like to see Florida move to, an LVT is a land value tax where it taxes the value of the land, not the improvements of the land. Or like California's
Prop
8.
Be careful what you asked for with that. How much is your property value going up in the past 5 years since you've been here?
Oh, astronomically.
Okay.
Right. But
would that mean you would have been paying more property taxes?
Yes, because it's worth more.
Okay.
Right?
What about a senior citizen that's on a fixed income that doesn't have the option to make more, to pay more?
Well, I think that's where something like California, California's Proposition 8 was, where there's a cap, essentially.
I don't pay attention to to the left coast.
Well,
except for the folks that move here.
Well, how about this? So you move into a property, and Prop 8 in California said that your taxes will not rise while you are. It's only when the property changes hands, it's reassessed, and the tax is enforced.
We're similar
based on a
to
cap.
That here. I mean, based on your previous sale, the value of the property is now reassessed based on the last sale of the property. I mean, that's similar here, and there is a cap here on
right.
You can't rise more than 3%.
So then what is your argument with those safety protocols in place? What's the argument against property
tax? It goes right into what you were just saying with the gentrification. If there's a properties all around you that have risen in value, you're going to hit that 3% every time. Are the folks that are on the fixed income or a retired senior, is their income or their retirement going to rise equally with that. In a lot of cases, it doesn't happen that way. That's how you end up with gentrification.
Sure.
People sell their property because they can no longer afford to live there, or they see a better opportunity to sell that property, take those profits, and move somewhere else. So
how does it increase if it only is reassessed when it changes hands?
The neighboring properties.
Sure,
properties are going to increase, but so what happens? How does gentrification happen?
Well,
people come in.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm going to tear down this old house.
Sure.
I'm going to build a new house. And now there's a $1 million property next to a property that, 10 years ago may have been $20,000. Now it's worth $100,000 on the market. Why? Because it's land value less demolition.
Sure.
So
no, the
owner of that property either inherited it from someone else or is an aging senior that can no longer afford to live there because that 3% increase has happened over time.
Right.
The argument of gentrification.
It works both ways.
It works both ways.
And I mean, you're speaking my language, obviously, because we senior citizens are our bread and butter, and I certainly empathize with that. But the fact remains that regardless of how you pay the government for your right to their land,
mm-hmm.
it is still a claim that you are making over this random lot of land that you are then assigning the government to protect, to
provide you the infrastructure to get there.
Provide you the infrastructure to get there and back. I mean, right?
Yeah. Boy, the texts are starting to come in now.
Before we get to those, let's get to traffic on the fives,
John. I think we hit some stuff.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. Everything is looking good. This traffic report is brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Often the most unhealthy part of a person is their mind. People fantasize about life with a different spouse, or they entertain negative thoughts that often lead to depression, or some people think of themselves more highly than they ought. After all, no one knows what you're thinking unless you tell them. It's easy to keep secret the bad habits of the mind. Did you know that 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? Beware of thinking on things that inhibit your spiritual growth or undermine your relationship with others. Instead, capture your thoughts and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You'll be glad you did, and so will the people in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We were at a party.
Welcome back. We're rocking with Rock Lobster this morning.
The sooner we come in on Rock Lobster, the better.
Yeah.
Lord, I can't stand it. No, John? Turn it up, John.
You work for me, John.
I want to briefly explain gentrification for those who don't know, which dovetails with our conversation earlier about property tax. Gentrification is the gentry. So, you know, the French word for the sort of well-to-do. It's when the well-to-do move into an area, generally a poor, generally minority part of town, and infuse affluence and cash, thus raising property values, thus raising property taxes, and essentially pricing people out of a place that they have called home for sometimes, you know, decades or if not centuries. Very often this is a sort of generational home that they are forced out of. So that dovetails obviously with the property tax discussion. And I also wanted to correct myself. I think I said Prop 8 out of California. It wasn't Prop 8. It was Proposition 13 that capped property taxes based on income and also could only be reassessed when the property changes hands. But I understand that we got a couple of very well modulated texts then.
Somebody said something about going back to dirt roads. Let's just go back to dirt roads. It's just that's just an excuse.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got a different take on property taxes.
What would you like to see?
I would like to see homesteaded properties not necessarily go to zero, but go to maybe a fixed rate for the entirety of your ownership of it.
Okay.
Maybe for, you know, if you bought it, say, in 2020, and based on that tax rate, you're going to stay at that tax rate for homesteaded properties for the time that you own it. And then when you sell it, the new owner gets to go from that tax rate. If it's a homesteaded property, it goes from that and travels forward. Now, investment property, whole different ballgame.
Oh, certainly, because increasingly those are out of state holders, right?
I mean, you have local owners too. I mean, I own rental property.
You do, but you generally think of these private equity groups, right?
BlackRock. Right. Yeah. You've got big groups or apartment complexes that you know, it come in, or hell, developers that, you know, build a neighborhood. You know,
yeah.
There's the insert developer, D.R. Horton, Lennar, I mean, whatever,
right?
Miranda, whoever it might be, that up in Beulah, there's an entire neighborhood that was built that is nothing but rental property. That just north of OLF-8,
yeah.
They own the entire neighborhood.
Good it's Lord.
Single family residents that are all rentals. Now, well, do those see an increase in taxes? Of course, because they're not homesteaded. So again, I don't think it'll pass.
No.
We'll see. We'll see what happens at the ballot and what actually makes it to the ballot. You were talking about the legislature and where they were earlier. What's going to happen?
Or where they're not.
Or where they're not. Maybe we could call Alex Andrade and get his
take he on listens.
It.
Or, I know he listens Michelle. To the show.
Yeah,
I know they both do. Alex and I really appreciate the relationship I have with Representative Andrade, because he is one of those people like you, Jonathan, that you can disagree with, that you can have strong disagreements with, and really come from, in some cases, diametrically opposite worldviews and value systems, but still have a constructive conversation and dialogue with, and feel like you honestly came away from the conversation not hurting or hating the other person, but honestly having learned something. And I think that's so valuable in the public space, and I think that it's so quickly disappearing too from our public discourse.
Well, I mean, it's apropos that we talk about that on MLK Day, right?
That's Civility. Right.
And let's not forget, why is everyone off work today and we're filling in? I think
that's right.
That we get a different audience today than normal.
That's right.
It's either smaller or larger. Yeah, or no,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll
depends
see.
On the folks. Depends on how well McKay has branded himself.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Have people that are committed to listen
He's
to
brand
him
loyal
on their day off when they're not driving to work. But discourse is something that, if you pay attention to social media, is lost.
Yes.
It's not lost at the, at the coffee shops or folks or the Waffle Houses or the, you know, the coffee cups or whatever, where people gather and still do that.
Yeah.
You know, have, you know, political discussions about, current topics of the day. I think that's dwindling.
Oh, very much so. We only want our old worldview reflected back at us increasingly.
Based on the algorithm that's decided seriously. by machine learning
and
somewhere.
I mean, it's comforting. You know, it's great to be affirmed and validated in that way, but you don't learn anything. You don't experience any more of the world that way. And a good friend of mine has some very strong opinions, but he only surrounds himself with people who agree with him and, in fact, avoids people who disagree with him. So a couple of weeks ago, we were hanging out and there was someone who disagreed with him who was in the friend group. And he had the opportunity, my friend, had the opportunity to change this person's mind, but he had never before been confronted with an idea from the opposing side. So when he was finally confronted with that idea, he didn't know how to react. So he essentially squandered this opportunity to convince someone.
For conflict resolution,
because he only surrounds himself with, you know, an echo chamber. So I think it's so important. I think that's what Andrew does really well on this show, is curates multiple perspectives.
I would agree with that. That brings up a good point, and we are way far off of what we were talking about, but I'd like to go further with this.
But let's do traffic first on the fives.
Let's do it.
That's right. No accidents to report or delays. Things are looking really good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Excuse me. I have a very diverse group of friends, social media, and for years and years, you know, friends from high school all the way to, you know, recent political people that I've met as a result of politics and some with business. What really troubles me is seeing folks that just go super far out on whatever extreme that may be, left, right, whatever, and just want to block, you disagree with me? I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yep.
I don't want to see you anymore. To that point, some of those folks, I don't want to see them anymore either, because they're so far away and just completely, I don't want to talk about Trump bad, orange man bad, you know, or insert AOC's crazy, whatever side of the political aisle you're on. It's troublesome to me to see people that I was friends with, that if we happen to get on the topic of whatever having to do with politics, that it would worry me on.
Oh yeah,
would I be able to have a civil conversation with someone that I used to be able to have a civil conversation with? You know, about local politics or, you know, topics of the day. So that's troubling to me.
I mean, I'll criticize my own side here. I do think the left is far more prone to cutting off even members of their own family because of political disagreements, you know, whether it's race, whether it's sexuality, whether it's the trans issue or immigration or whatever. I mean, I think increasingly you are seeing a sort of moral vindictiveness and moral righteousness at cutting off close members of your family simply because they don't share your worldview. When everybody is either a Nazi or a savior, and you see the world in such polarizing black and white ways, there's no room for civil discourse. And of course, social media is driving us to those extremes and creating an environment in which either you agree with me or you're the devil. And I don't know how we...
Have you always been this much of a moderate Democrat?
Come back from that. You know, I have some pretty extreme views, mostly economically. But socially, I do, honestly, I find myself becoming a little bit more socially conservative over the years. Mainly due to the extremes of the left on some trans issues and stuff like that.
Well, and again, I think it was the algorithms. I think it is the algorithms that have, feed us what we want or what we crave, which is probably not the best thing for us.
No.
It would be interesting to see the effects of blowing the algorithms up in technology or in social media, and how it would change branding.
Oh,
from an advertising standpoint, okay, you know, this person that meets all these checkboxes, we need to send this ad to them because this is what we think they want based on what we've already given them.
I remember when Facebook was simply sorted by recency. You would get the most recent posts at the top. There was no algorithm. And now, I mean, we've probably said the word algorithm, you know, a dozen times in the past 2 hours. It is such a normalized and constant part of our lives. We just accept that these big tech companies are customizing for each one of us a worldview that doesn't bring unity. It brings divisiveness.
Gotcha.
And we just accept it.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
News. I'm CJ Papa. Commandeering a Christian church service in St. Paul, Minnesota, chanting the name of the woman killed this month in an ICE-involved shooting. That from Speak MPLS.
Protesters believe one of the pastors works for ICE. Now, the organizer told Don Lemon, who was embedded with the protesters, that it was a clandestine operation meant to disrupt a, quote, key location demanding justice for good. One video appears to show a protester inside the church calling the churchgoers comfortable white people.
Fox's Matt Finn reporting from Minneapolis. European nations at odds over the future of Greenland, which the president labels critical for U.S. national security. Those countries will meet later this week over the threat to take over the island, which is property of Denmark. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne on this Monday morning. Right now we've got sunshine, 33 degrees here across the area. We will get to our forecast in just a few minutes with meteorologist Marion Caldwell from Channel 3. First, our headlines today. Four people are behind bars after an alleged burglary at a Milton property. A neighbor spotted the suspects on Friday and alerted the homeowner. Santa Rosa County deputies say they caught two people immediately. Two others ran into some woods. Canine Mac and the detention canine were able to track those two suspects down. The suspects face several charges, including armed burglary, drug possession, and trespassing. Escambia County's high school graduation rate has jumped more than 5% to 89.5%. Superintendent Keith Leonard crediting family support, hardworking teachers, and targeted tutoring in the district. 2,485 students walked across the stage last May, and Leonard says he's confident this year will bring even more graduates. Okaloosa County and Santa Rosa County also saw increases. Yeah, most Escambia County and Florida Department of Health offices are closed today for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. That includes county administration, libraries, the animal shelter, and the clerk's office. The Perdido landfill is open with regular hours. ECAT buses today not running regular service, but Flex Transit is providing life-sustaining trips. Baptist Medical Group has now opened a new primary care clinic in Milton. That's located at 4244 Avalon Boulevard. It'll be led by board-certified physician Dr. Gerwinder Carr. Hours are Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Appointments are available by calling that clinic at 448-227-5750. A Crestview man is facing a weapons charge after investigators responded to a shooting at his home. 54-year-old Reginald Bradshaw is charged with possession of a weapon by a convicted felon. The investigation began January 15th when a gun discharged during a fight between two women, causing a non-life-threatening shoulder injury. Bradshaw admitted to owning firearms. Deputies found seven guns and ammunition as they were serving a search warrant. Well, one man hurt, three people facing charges after a big brawl at a baseball tournament in Polk County. The Winter Haven Public Safety Department releasing details yesterday of this incident that happened Saturday at the Chain of Lakes Complex baseball fields. The umpire gave a verbal warning to a coach, Marcos Antonio Abali. Then Yasmani Guzman Fernandez, whose son is on Abali's team, got into a fight with the umpire's father in the stands When the umpire tried to intervene, Abali allegedly punched him. Abali's team left the dugout, joined in on the fight. One of those allegedly attacked the umpire was Fernando's 17-year-old son. The umpire ended up being taken to the hospital for treatment. Abali, Fernandez, and Fernandez's son, all from Kissimmee, were arrested. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's check in with John Pickens, get an update on our traffic on the fives.
Well, the traffic update is there are still no accidents to report to you or delays. Everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Cold on the other side of that winter weather system that swept through over the weekend, seeing temperatures in the 20s and 30s this morning, making way for low 50s for highs this afternoon going into tonight. Temperatures plummet back down into the 30s, but as the week goes on, those temperatures will moderate back into the 60s. I'm meteorologist Marian Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather Forecast.
Sunshine, 32 degrees right now. Your next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or birdseed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
So several years ago, Christina Leavenworth had left being in the news, and she'd started a couple of things and started a family, and she wanted to go into real estate. And those of us who knew her thought, well, I mean, you know, if anybody can do it, certainly she can. But a lot of people, they try real estate and it doesn't really work out for them. Oh my goodness. Talk about results. In the peak of the market, when it was easy and houses were almost selling themselves, she and her team at Levin Reinke Realty were selling over 200 homes a year. Now, in the last couple of years, with the market being what it is and interest rates higher and prices higher and people reluctant to sell because they lose their great interest rate. 3 years ago, her team had sold 175 homes. 2 years ago, they'd sold 165 homes, which is still 3 to 4 homes per week. It's still amazing. Well, this last year in 2025, back up again, over 200, 209 homes, up 30% in a down market. When other people are really struggling to sell a home, they are just selling the lights out of these homes. It's crazy. So what does she do differently? Well, call her and talk to her. 850-786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Reinke Realty.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning. We are back this morning on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. This is Jonathan Owens filling in for Andrew McKay. We have Josh Newby and John Pickens with us this morning.
It's still cold. It is still cold. 30 degrees, which I can't believe. I want to just briefly take a quick break, a five-second break from talking about feudal tax systems and Dostoevsky to give my son, Noah Ryan Newby, a shout-out. I understand that he's listening right now. I love my son very much. Are you familiar with this feeling, Jonathan, of loving your kids?
Oh.
I love him so much. We spent pretty much all day together yesterday, and he recently learned how to ride a bicycle without training wheels,
which is huge.
Going on lots of adventures.
Did he do the balance bike thing?
Yes, he did the balance. Oh, my God. He's been on the balance bike since he was like two. And then he graduated to pedaling with training wheels when he was like four. So he was very good at pedaling and he was very good at balancing, but he couldn't bring them together to do
it simultaneously.
But yeah, so we finally took the training wheels off over the Christmas holiday, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, he's loved riding his bike. But yeah.
He's six?
He's six. And yeah, I love you, Noah, very much. But anyway, let's get back to...
Hold on.
Okay.
If you're going to take a break...
Family brownie points.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna pile onto your family brownie points with my family brownie points. My girls, Olivia and Victoria, hopefully are listening. If not, they'll hear this on the rebroadcast or live stream later. Yeah. Do I know anything about loving kids? Yes, of course. I have four daughters and am very blessed to have them. I have them in three decades. My oldest is 32, will be 33 this year. Next one's 22, 11 and 10. 11's about to be 12 years old. So I'm very familiar with the kids and family, and they would have loved to come in with us this morning and seeing Candy. When I tell them that Candy is in the other other studio over there on Cat Country, they're gonna be jealous. They love her. They miss her. Nothing against you, John, in the mornings, but they loved to hear when Candy was on.
Oh, fine.
They like you. You are Andrew's friend. You guys are funny. That's what the girls tell me on the way to school, because we listen every day on the way to school. And she's like, Andrew's friend John, he's really funny. He doesn't talk a lot though. I said, because Andrew won't ever give him any space to talk. we're doing our best to give John some space this morning, as long as Josh will be quiet long enough to let John talk.
Y'all are doing a great job. I mean,
we're killing it.
I mean,
Andrew, take a vacation anytime. Seriously.
The only time Josh and I get to see each other really previously on the radio was on the Wrap, and we were talking. We need to do a show called The Unwrapped.
Yeah,
and John,
I like
John
it.
Likes that.
I do. Love the
I
idea.
Like it. So what are you? And I think Noah is possibly still listening. So I still love you, Noah. What are you teaching? My son is six, but you have quite a spread with your children. What are you teaching them about the value of civil discourse? About meeting people and understanding people as human beings and not simply as avatars who spout incendiary political opinions on social media.
NPCs.
NPCs. Thank you, John. Okay. NPCs, yes.
So that's funny you asked that. I have one daughter that could care less about politics, the youngest, and then the one that's about to be 12 is very... tuned in, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, maybe from riding to school every day, listening to talk radio, and then in the afternoon, they ask me. They said, "Can we play some music this morning? Do you have to listen to this? Are you going to be on there?" Like, okay. Yeah, I forget that they. Sometimes I forget that they. Oh, yeah, music's important as well. But what am I teaching them? I disagree with Andrew. I yell at the radio sometimes. And then I'll send a text message in sometimes. John will get those.
Driving, of course.
Only at red lights, and I have them.
Or
send
do you
a
have
text
a scribe in the car with you?
I have two little scribes that will gladly take over for me. So discourse is great. I mean, I don't believe in flat earth, but I will do this with my daughter just to get a debate going. I'm like, sweetheart, the earth is flat.
Yeah.
I mean, here are the reasons why. I mean, if you shine a laser, look, it's straight. I mean, it doesn't shoot off into the sky. And she's like, it's not flat. So just to stimulate debate, I said, there are going to be people that come into your life that disagree with you. And they may be right about some things. They might not be right about everything, but they may be right about something. But you have to give them the opportunity to hear them out. You know, patience, listen, understand where they're coming from. They can be wrong, and if they're wrong, help them understand why they're wrong, or at least why you think they're wrong. But in the end, that's your friend.
Yeah.
Or a potential friend. You might disagree with folks. I've got a lot of folks that I disagree with them politically and socially and fiscally and all kinds of different things, but I still consider them my friends. And love to have the spirited debate. And I hope that my children, your children, everyone's children, will learn that. We're talking about this on Martin Luther King Day, mm-hmm. Which, you know, this is a holiday for the sacrifices that he gave, and ultimately it was his life against his will.
Yeah.
For standing up for what he believed in, and he had a dream.
Yeah, that's right.
Oftentimes that dream and lots of those quotes from that have been misquoted or you know twisted into some different political, vent to enlighten a topic or whatever. But I try to explain to my children that, everyone's different.
Yeah.
That's what makes each of us unique and special. And we need to appreciate other people's different viewpoints. How about you?
The same thing, although obviously on a much more elementary level because he's only six, but, you know, just trying to impart the value of understanding more than what you can see. You know, if you want to know the world and you want to know other people, then you have to become not only tolerant of other ideas, but comfortable around them and even welcoming of them, because he would have never learned to ride a bike without training wheels had he not pushed himself to be a little bit uncomfortable for a brief period of time. And it's the same thing with civil discourse. It's the same thing with politics. You have to force yourself to confront ideas that you find uncomfortable in order to potentially, if not learn more about the topic, then learn more about the person that you're talking to. One of my favorite quotes is John Stuart Mill. He who knows only his side of the case knows little of that.
Right.
But let's go to Traffic on the Fives with John.
That's right. Let's see here. We've still got no accidents to report to you. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, Davis Highway, they're all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity health and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, The Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on The Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3. The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Hey there, Delilah, what's it like in New York City?
Oh man, this song takes me back. God, this used to be
music. It does that to you.
Jam. Man, I'm transported right now. Plain White Tees. We were saying, welcome back to News Radio 92.3. We were saying during the break, before John told us to save this valuable discussion for the air, you know, in trying to teach my six-year-old the value of talking to people he disagrees with, or learning about things that he may not be initially interested in, I sort of think that he, or that children in general, they're still discovering who they are as people, and then being confronted with things that they disagree with, or having to learn about topics that they may not find interesting, or hearing someone say something that is contradictory to something that, you know, one of their parents taught them, it causes some embarrassment and some discomfort. But Jonathan, you were saying that that you think sometimes we imbue a child's experience with our adult understanding of it.
I think so. We you know, we have life experience ahead of ahead of them, and oftentimes we try to take and we want the best for our kids, right? We want to try to educate them and make them ready for the world, almost too much. Sometimes I think we try to apply everything that we've experienced in our life and try to educate our child too early on
something. Oh, really? Interesting.
Let kid be kids. Let just, you know,
I do agree with that.
Let them work it out. Telling your 6-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old up until teens, right? I mean, because at that point they know way more than we do.
Right. Of course.
You haven't got there yet.
Right.
I've been there twice.
I'm
now.
I'm excited.
Yeah, and I'm coming up on it again. and all females.
Yeah.
So I can't possibly be right.
No, you know, you can't win.
Dad, what does he know? But I think we inject our life experiences onto our kids from a, you know, well, our kid's feeling really insecure today.
Yeah.
Are they, though? I mean, could they be? Yes. But would they deal with it the same way that we deal with it as adults? I don't know that we should try to force them to. I think we should just really ask them, hey, you know, what happened today? Oh, well, you know, I got upset with whatever. Well, how did you deal with that? Okay. And then just let it go.
Yeah, I do think
because they have to figure it out on their own.
100%.
Right?
I agree with you.
I mean, we could force them.
Yes.
And we could take this to the really far extreme where parents are deciding what their children's sex are pre 6 years old.
Right.
They're trying to drive them in a certain direction of, oh, my child thinks they're this X, you know, they think they're a girl or they think they're a boy or whatever. I think we've got to that point where it's so far we're trying to like force our children to what we believe in versus letting them figure out what they believe in.
That's totally, and I do agree with that part of it. I think that you are much more likely to enact a lesson that you yourself learned rather than one that you were taught, right? Mm-hmm. And so if my son learns how to overcome embarrassment on his own, that is much more valuable and much more actionable for him than if I told him, oh, you know, just brush it off or whatever sage advice I could give him. And so I am a huge fan of letting kids mess up, letting kids get hurt physically, emotionally, whatever, so that they learn how to process and they learn how to recover, because I'm not always going to be by his side.
Right.
And when he moves into the world, he has to know how to process disappointment and disagreement by himself. But I also, how do you balance that as a parent with knowing, as far as anything can be known, what the solution is, knowing what the better option is, and letting your kid screw up anyway?
Well, back to, you know, emotional damage, physical damage, injuries, things like that. I have a saying, if it's not poking out or it's not leaking, then you know, rub some dirt on it. You
right.
know, it's the you know, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
And I kind of look at that the same way with the kids as far as what their experience is, if they have a challenge at school. But then again, I have four
right.
that I've been through, right?
And all girls.
All girls. My oldest, and my wife reminded me of this, she said, you can't apply the same experiences that your oldest child had to your youngest children, because right. you viewed her coming up in life in a different time in your own life than you do right now. You mm-hmm. have much more wisdom than you did when, you know, in your 20s,
right?
When she was in, you know, under the age of 10.
Yeah.
So, and that goes for the 22-year-old as well. So I think the older you get, the more laid back you get.
Sure.
Kind of like what we were talking about earlier with, are you the more moderate, you know,
more moderate Democrat
than you were as the younger Democrat.
Right.
So I think you get more laid back and you kind of just like, I want to watch it happen.
Yeah.
But keep the guardrails up so, you know, they don't completely go off the rails. You know, I don't want you to go jump off a cliff.
Right.
I'm
of course.
Stop. Hey, there's a cliff there.
Right.
Don't jump off that. You'll, you know, hurt yourself really
right.
bad. So that, did yeah, that answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah. And I read a statistic the other day, that said that by the time when your kids turn 18, you have 18 years with your kids, right, of pretty much constant familiarity and closeness. And then once they hit 18 or whatever age they move out, I'm just saying 18 for some people, it's 23. But whatever age they move out, you basically have another year combined with them after that until
collectively.
So you have 18 years. And then you have one more year collectively
for the rest of their life.
For the rest of your life. And that is, and my son is 6, so we're a third of the way to 18. But that is just such a sobering thought, even fully formed, right? Until they're 25. So you're sending out into the world this immature, premature 18-year-old, hoping that you've, and potentially knowing that you've done everything you possibly can to set this person up for success, to give them emotional intelligence and, you know, academic enlightenment. But at a certain point, they are their own person, and there are lessons that they can only learn separate and apart from their parents.
Mm-hmm. And you have to love them no matter what.
That's
right?
100%. Yeah.
You don't get to choose your family.
Right.
They're yours.
Yeah.
Good, bad, indifferent,
yeah,
whatever.
That's right.
So it's a, man, that just kind of stung.
Yeah, it's great.
Right? 18.
Let's let you sit with that while we go to traffic on the fives.
Yeah, great conversation, guys. No accidents to report to you, nor delays. Everything is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Excellent.
Yeah, that stung.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
You want me to pivot?
No. That's good. It reminds me of a conversation. That, you know, I have lots of conversations with my wife, and she told me, she's like, don't talk about us a lot on the radio, but here I am.
Here you go.
You know, when I spend a lot of time with you, I spend them to talk about you. Friends, same thing.
Mm.
Your relationships, your friendships as a child, you're with them all the time. Your timing, the time you spend at school, you're with that same person all the time.
Yeah.
And it's much more difficult to have friends.
Oh my gosh! Yes,
in adult life, right?
Yep.
Because we're adulting,
right?
Right, we're working,
right?
And we end up having relationships with people at work, friendships with people at work.
But you're sort of discouraged from that too. In K-12, you're encouraged to be friends with your classmates, and a lot of our friendships are facilitated in that way when we're kids. But you're sort of discouraged, like. There used to be a trend, like people go out to happy hour after work, right? This
mm-hmm.
this was a thing, you know, workplace relationships, workplace friendships. There was this culture around work, I feel like, before I entered the workplace. And now, especially since COVID, but certainly since the 2010s, it seems like society or the intelligentsia writ large tends to actively, or HR culture, if you want to blame HR culture, tends to actively discourage
after
being
work.
Too close with your coworkers and going out after work. And I feel like it's really made our social lives and our social cohesion suffer as a result.
Well, and technology as well.
Oh, right, of course, as
phone,
more atomized.
I mean,
yep.
We the definition of what friends are.
Mm.
It's very different.
That's a great point.
Now, well, I'm friends with that person. Or,
right.
You know, these are my good friends. Well, what makes you a good friend?
You see their birthday pop up on Facebook.
Right. And you either tell them happy birthday or you don't.
Right.
Either on Facebook or you call them.
Right. So much of our life has moved online.
Yeah. I try to call friends, you know.
Same.
Stay in touch with, take the time, right?
Yeah.
It's a two-way street. Relationships, it takes two to tango, right?
I mean, right.
All the cliches with that. It takes effort to have keep up relationships.
There's a line from a movie that I'm constantly reminded of, Lady Bird, for those who have seen the movie. Love is paying attention. And I think that's crucial for not only romantic or sexual relationships, but for just human connection and human friendships. It will die if you don't pay attention to it and to them. And like you said, we're driven to our Instagram or to our Facebook, and we get everything we need in fast food form right there. We live secondhand lives, but we don't live actual lives with people we care about and in some cases disagree with.
Yeah, pick up the phone and call.
Pick up the phone, yeah.
And talking about older, the older you get, the more friends you lose, right? I mean, mm-hmm. or people that were acquaintances in your life, and the more you're reminded of that, just because we expire. I mean, there's two things in life that are guaranteed, which is death and
Property taxes.
Property taxes we were talking about earlier, right? Taxes and death.
Yeah.
Not to be morbid at the coming up on the 8 o'clock hour, but we are hearing the music in our ears. I want to pick that back up about what it takes to keep up with your
friends.
Yeah,
definitely. It's important. All right. We'll see you guys on the other side.